Welcome to the Maestro Circe podcast, where English learners worldwide learn and increase fluency in American English. As an English learner who moved to the United States of America more than 40 years ago, I began learning American English with the guidance and encouragement of my teachers. As an American English teacher with over 30 years of experience teaching English learners in California, USA, I know that learning English is neither easy nor simple. Learning English takes discipline, motivation, and hard work. Let's work together to help you succeed.
Welcome to the Learn American English with Maestro Circe podcast. For the next few months, our podcasts published on Wednesdays will include excerpts from Maestro Circe's ebook, Mastering Sentences in American English, A Guide for English Learners. In addition, during each Wednesday episode, we'll also include a grammar lesson to help you build your American English language skills. Are you ready? Let's begin.
Constructing complex sentences. Case study: weaving intricate tapestries of meaning. As an English teacher with over 30 years of experience working with language learners in California, I've seen firsthand the transformative power of mastering the nuances of complex sentence structure. It's a journey that begins with the fundamental building blocks of language: words, phrases, and clauses, and culminates in the ability to weave them together into elegant, expressive tapestries of meaning. One of my most memorable students was a young woman named Sophia, who came to the United States from Romania, much like I had done decades earlier. When Sophia first arrived, her English proficiency was limited, and she struggled to convey her thoughts and ideas with the depth and complexity she craved. But with determination and the guidance of her ESL teachers, Sophia steadily progressed, developing a keen understanding of the intricate dance between independent and dependent clauses, subordinating conjunctions, and relative pronouns. Sophia's breakthrough moment came during a class discussion on the impact of globalization. She had been carefully studying the use of subordinating conjunctions, such as although, because, since, and when, and how they could be employed to create complex, multi-layered sentences. As the discussion unfolded, Sophia raised her hand, her eyes alight with excitement. Although globalization has brought many economic benefits, she began, her voice clear and confident, it has also led to significant cultural and environmental challenges, which must be carefully considered. Because the world has become more interconnected, the choices we make in one part of the globe can have far-reaching consequences in other regions when we fail to account for the complex web of interdependencies. The class fell silent, captivated by Sophia's eloquence and the way she seamlessly wove together independent and dependent clauses, using subordinating conjunctions to convey the nuances of her perspective. It was a pivotal moment, not only for Sophia but for the entire class, as they witnessed the transformative power of mastering complex sentence structure. In the days and weeks that followed, Sophia continued to hone her skills, experimenting with relative pronouns like who, which, and that, to add even greater precision and depth to her writing and speaking. She would often pause, carefully considering the most appropriate pronoun to use in a given context, knowing that the choice could subtly shift the meaning and emphasis of her message. The company that implemented the new sustainability initiatives, she might say, highlighting a specific company, or the policy, which aims to reduce carbon emissions, has been widely praised, shifting the focus to the policy itself. Sophia's diligence and dedication paid off, as she steadily gained confidence and fluency in constructing complex sentences. Her essays and presentations became increasingly nuanced and compelling, drawing her classmates and instructors deeper into her ideas and perspectives. One particularly memorable assignment involved analyzing the impact of climate change on vulnerable communities around the world. Sophia tackled the topic with characteristic thoughtfulness, weaving together independent and dependent clauses to paint a vivid and emotionally resonant picture. While climate change is a global phenomenon, she wrote, its effects are often disproportionately felt by those who have contributed the least to the problem, such as indigenous communities and developing nations, because these populations frequently lack the resources and infrastructure to adapt to the rapidly shifting environmental conditions. They face the greatest risks, which can include food insecurity, water scarcity, and the increased frequency of natural disasters. The depth and clarity of Sophia's writing left a lasting impression on her classmates and instructors, who marveled at her ability to seamlessly weave together complex ideas and perspectives using the nuanced tools of language. As Sophia's academic journey progressed, she continued to hone her mastery of complex sentence structure, employing it not only in her studies, but in her everyday life. She found that the ability to construct intricate, multi-layered sentences allowed her to express her thoughts and ideas with greater nuance and precision, whether she was engaging in lively debates, crafting persuasive arguments, or simply sharing her personal experiences with friends and loved ones. Looking back on Sophia's transformation, I am reminded of my own journey as an English language learner and the countless students I have had the privilege of guiding over the years. Each one has faced their own unique challenges, but the ability to construct complex sentences has proven to be a transformative skill, empowering them to communicate with greater depth, clarity, and impact. In the end, the mastery of complex sentence structure is not merely a technical exercise, but a gateway to a deeper understanding of the world and our place within it. By learning to weave together independent and dependent clauses, to employ subordinating conjunctions and relative pronouns with precision, we unlock the power to convey nuanced and multi-layered perspectives, to explore the intricate web of cause and effect, and to forge meaningful connections with those around us. As I reflect on Sophia's story and the countless others like it, I am reminded of the profound impact that education can have, not only on the individual but on the larger tapestry of our shared human experience. It is a privilege to be part of that journey, to witness the transformation that occurs when a student discovers the true power of language. And so, I encourage all those who seek to deepen their command of the English language to embrace the challenge of constructing complex sentences. For in doing so, you will not only unlock new realms of expression, but you will also gain a deeper understanding of the world around you and the ability to connect with others in ways that truly matter.
Understanding the simple future tense. What is the simple future tense? In the English language, the simple future tense is used to describe actions that will happen in the future, whether it's something that will occur tomorrow, next week, or even in a year. The simple future tense helps us convey these upcoming events. By adding certain words to our sentences, we can indicate that the action has not taken place yet, but will occur at a later time. Forming the simple future tense. To form the simple future tense, we typically use the helping verb, will or shall, followed by the base form of the verb. For example, I will eat dinner later. She shall call you tomorrow. In some cases, contractions are also used, such as I'll for I will or she'll for she shall. Using time markers. Time markers are words or phrases that help us identify when an action will take place. These words provide context to our sentences and make it clear that the action is set to occur in the future. Common time markers used with the simple future tense include tomorrow, next week, in a year, later. By including these time markers in our sentences, we can pinpoint the exact timing of the future event. Making predictions. The simple future tense is not only used for expressing scheduled events, but also for making predictions about the future. When we use the simple future tense in this way, we are forecasting what we believe will happen. For instance, I think it will rain tomorrow. She believes she will win the race. By using the simple future tense for predictions, we can share our thoughts and insights about what we expect to occur. Negative and interrogative forms. In addition to affirmative sentences, the simple future tense can also be used in negative and interrogative forms. When forming negative sentences, we include the word not after will or use the contraction won't. For example, I will not be late. She won't forget your birthday. When constructing interrogative sentences, we place the helping verb will before the subject. This helps us form questions about future events. Consider the following examples. Will you come to the party? Will they finish the project on time? Summary. The simple future tense is a valuable tool in English grammar that allows us to talk about future events, make predictions, and ask questions about what is yet to come. By mastering the formation and usage of this tense, we can effectively communicate about actions and events that will take place in the future. Remember to incorporate time markers, practice forming various sentence types, and have fun exploring the possibilities that the simple future tense offers. Stay curious and keep learning. In the simple future tense, both negative and interrogative sentences are used to convey different meanings and purposes. Negative sentences. Negative sentences in the simple future tense are used to express that an action will not happen in the future. This form of the sentence typically includes the word not after the helping verb will or the contraction won't, will not. By using negative sentences, we can communicate that a particular event is not expected to occur. Example, I will not attend the meeting tomorrow. Interrogative sentences. Interrogative sentences in the simple future tense are used to ask questions about future events. These sentences typically start with the helping verb, will, followed by the subject, and then the rest of the sentence. By using interrogative sentences, we can inquire about someone's intentions, plans, or expectations for the future. Example, will you join us for lunch? In summary, negative sentences are statements that indicate the absence of a future action, while interrogative sentences are questions that seek information or confirmation about future events. Both forms play an essential role in communication and help us express various meanings and intentions related to the simple future tense. Here are some examples of negative and interrogative sentences in the simple future tense. Negative sentences. I will not attend the meeting tomorrow. They won't visit the museum next week. She will not forget to send you a birthday card. We will not watch the movie tonight. Interrogative sentences. Will you join us for lunch? Will they arrive on time for the concert? Will she take the bus to school tomorrow? Will we have a test next Friday? I hope these examples help clarify how negative and interrogative sentences are formed in the simple future tense. If you have any more questions or need further clarification, feel free to ask. Here are some more examples of negative sentences in the simple future tense. He will not travel to Paris next month. They won't buy a new car this year. She will not forget to water the plants while you're away. We will not visit the zoo on Sunday. The team will not play in the championship game. I hope these additional examples help reinforce how negative sentences are structured in the simple future tense. If you have any more questions or need further examples, feel free to ask. In negative sentences for the simple future tense, both will not and won't are used to indicate that an action will not happen in the future. Here's an explanation of the difference between the two. Will not or won't. Will not is the full form used to create negative sentences in the simple future tense. It follows the helping verb, will, and is followed by the base form of the main verb. Example, I will not attend the party. Will not is used in formal or more formal writing and speech. Won't, contraction of will not. Won't is the contraction of will not and serves the same purpose as the full form. Example, she won't be late for the meeting. Won't is used in informal writing and speech and it is a more conversational or casual way of expressing negation in the simple future tense. Both will not and won't can be used interchangeably in negative sentences for the simple future tense. The choice between the two forms depends on the level of formality you want to maintain in your writing or speech. Here are some examples of situations where it might be more appropriate to use will not over won't in a sentence. Formal writing. In formal writing, such as academic papers, business correspondence, or official documents, using the full form will not may be more appropriate to maintain a professional tone. For example, the company will not tolerate any form of discrimination in the workplace. Emphasis or clarity. When you want to emphasize the negation in a sentence or make it clearer, using will not can provide additional emphasis. For example, I will not participate in the competition, no matter what. Politeness. In certain situations where politeness is important, such as formal requests or interactions, using the full form will not can be more polite than the contraction won't. For example, I will not be able to attend the meeting due to a prior commitment. Please accept my apologies. Educational settings. In educational settings, such as textbooks or academic materials, using the full form will not may be preferred to ensure clarity and proper grammar instruction. For example, the student will not receive credit for late submissions without prior approval. In these scenarios, using will not instead of won't can help maintain formality, provide emphasis or clarity, enhance politeness, or adhere to educational standards. Ultimately, the choice between the two forms depends on the context and the desired tone or level of formality in communication.
Thank you for being part of today's podcast with Maestro Cersei, where English learners worldwide learn American English. Due to popular demand, we are now sharing educational podcasts 3 times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. In the meanwhile, if you'd like to access a variety of educational offerings, feel free to visit our website at www.sersea.com. Learning American English takes discipline, motivation, and hard work. Keep up the good work.